وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
Remember, just remember, Allah sees it all.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. All praise due to Allah and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last messenger of Allah. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, In the Names of Allah. Alhamdulillah, we've been looking in our previous episodes at the intent behind the names of Allah, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed these names to us, what value do they have in our lives, relative to Allah, relative to the world in which we exist. And we looked at the rules governing the names of Allah, how to understand them. And we looked at also how people have deviated in their understanding of these names, how they've ended up giving Allah false names, giving Allah's names to His creatures. And now we began to look at the names as a whole, and particularly the greatest name of Allah within them. We mentioned in the previous segment a particular incident which took place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he heard one of his companions make a supplication. And after hearing it, he said that this supplication contains the greatest name of Allah, which if a person calls on Allah with it, Allah answers his prayer. And if he requests of Allah with it, Allah gives him what he requests. And we said that scholars, in looking at this hadith and other hadiths which speak about the greatest name of Allah, have differed as to what in fact is the greatest name of Allah. The opinion held by a number of scholars, among them Ibn al-Qayyim and others, is that Allah, the name, what was referred to as Lafzul Jalala, Allah, is in fact the greatest name of Allah itself. And to support that, they brought certain evidences. Why did they choose this as opposed to other names like Al-Hayy, which Ibn Taymiyyah chose, meaning the all-living? Why this particular name? Well, in the previous session, we looked at the first evidence, which was the various narrations which are by Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam concerning the greatest name. And those narrations mention verses from the Quran, and they mention du'as what other people had made. When we bring them all together, we do find that the name common to all of them is Allah. The name common to all of them is Allah. It may be in the form of Allahumma, which means Ya Allah. That's calling out to Allah. Allah is still there. Or the actual word itself, Allah. The second argument or evidence which is used is that it is the most mentioned name of Allah in the Quran. If we compare the number of times it is mentioned, 2,602 times, to even the nearest other name. Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim is mentioned 114 times. The difference is so vast. The next nearest name, Ar-Rahman, is mentioned 57 times. So obviously Allah has chosen this name and given it a special status over the others to have used it so many times more than any other of his names. So that is the second argument. The third argument is the meaning itself. What does the name Allah mean? Actually, it incorporates all of the other names. All of the other divine names are incorporated. Their meanings are incorporated in the term Allah. So it is the most general of all of the names of Allah. The fourth argument is relative to its usage, that this name has only been applied to God. It's the only name that has been applied to God and no one else. We don't hear of any people, even in the time of the ancient Arabs, prior to Revelation, etc. Nobody took this name. All of the other names, people might take these names. But this name, Allah, has only been assigned to God alone. The fifth argument is the fact that other names of Allah are attributed to it, and the name Allah is not attributed to other names. So you find, for example, in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 180, which we said was the basic theme of this whole program in the names of Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. The most beautiful names belong only to Allah, so call on Him with them. So, in this verse, all the other names are referred to as the names of Allah. Similarly, even if you look at the Basmala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we talk about in the name of Allah, and then Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim are descriptive names of Allah. So always the names are attributed to Allah, and not Allah attributed to the other names. You don't hear of Ar-Rahman Allah, but you hear of Allah Ar-Rahman or Allah Ar-Rahim. The sixth argument or evidence is that in the verse in the Quran in which Allah chooses two names to represent Himself, He said there, قُلْ اِدْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ اِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَانِ. Call on Allah or call on the Most Merciful. Now, he mentioned both of these two names. The one he mentioned first was Allah. Also, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in a well-known hadith, had said, "Inna ahabba asma'ikum ilallah, Abdullah wa Abdurrahman." Again, if these two names, Allah and Ar-Rahman, are the most prized or the greatest of the names, then naturally the best name that a person could call himself is a servant of Allah or a servant of the Most Merciful. Again, even when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned these two, he mentions Abdullah first and then Abdurrahman. And if we look at the two names in any case, whether in the verse in Surah Al-Isra or in this hadith, we should note that Ar-Rahman addresses issues of mercy. And we'll be looking at that in more detail when we get to the name Ar-Rahman. But fundamentally, it is a derivative of Rahmah or mercy. And that is the essential meaning of the name Ar-Rahman. It may be mercy in its comprehensive sense, that it encompasses all of His creation, and you know there are other aspects of His mercy, but essentially it is mercy. Whereas, say, the attribute of might and power, this is not represented in Ar-Rahman. Whereas in the name Allah, it is represented. The might and the power is there in Allah. The Qudra and the Al-Izzah, this is found in the name Allah. Just as also mercy, beneficence, all of that is found. If we go on to the seventh argument, that is a linguistic argument of uniqueness to the term Allah. In that, you can find the term Allah when used with the particle of address. In Arabic, when you are addressing somebody, you use the particle ya, which means in English, oh. It's in Old English. Modern English doesn't really use it very much. But it existed in Old English. In Arabic, it is a standard feature of the language, ya. Now, if you use ya before Ar-Rahman, or ya before Ar-Rahim, two other names of Allah, and all the other names, you must drop the definite article. So you have to say ya Rahman, ya Rahim. You can't say ya Ar-Rahman, ya Ar-Rahim. This is not linguistically correct. But when you put that article or particle ya before Allah, you still say ya Allah. You don't say ya Allah. Yeah? People might mispronounce and say that, but the correct way is ya Allah. But you will say ya Rahman and ya Rahim. So this is a linguistic, unique part or concept with regards to Allah. The eighth argument and final argument is that the name Allah has been given a special place of honor, in that the universal declaration of faith, La ilaha illallah, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Allah's name, that same name, becomes the one used in the universal declaration. In the universal declaration. So that puts it on that special level, because that universal declaration is the key to the next life. Paradise in the next life. Success for this life depends on that particular declaration of faith. So that becomes also a part and parcel of the argument for the name Allah to be one of the, but the greatest name of Allah. With that, dear viewers, we're going to take a brief break, and we'll be coming back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength from the strong.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. We'd like to welcome you back to our program, In the Names of Allah. And in the first part of the program, we completed looking at the evidences used to establish the name Allah as being the greatest name of Allah. It is the name by which all of the other names become descriptive terms. They are used to describe Allah. Allah's name is not used to describe the other names. So it is the most fundamental name of Allah. And we said, in terms of its meaning, that it is the most comprehensive, in that the meanings of all of the other names are found within the name Allah. Whereas each and every other name has particular aspects of Allah's attributes that they focus on. They don't necessarily include other attributes. Sometimes they may include more than one, but they're not comprehensive in the sense of including all other attributes. That can only be said about Allah. Now, the origin of the term Allah is again an issue of dispute among scholars. Although the general position held, and this is the same position you will find in Lisan al-Arab, which is considered to be the most authentic and authoritative dictionary, a very extensive dictionary containing many, many volumes. The position held there is that Allah is a contraction from Al-Ilah. Al-Ilah, which means the God, right? Ilah meaning God or object of worship. When you put Al before it, then you specify it as being definite, the one and only God. Now, in terms of its application, relative to us as human beings, of course, this name, we call on Allah with this name. We worship Him by seeking His help, seeking His guidance, etc., using this name. And Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in order to bind us to this name and keep Allah constantly in our day-to-day lives, He made the basmala, that is saying Bismillah, or in the name of Allah, He made it a supplication which we are encouraged to say before any act of significance that we have to do, using Allah's name. Also, what He has done in our daily acts of worship, whether they be formal or informal, whether we're praising Allah or whether we're calling on Him for a need, was also to include Allahumma, O Allah, in these various daily prayers. So what we'll be doing over the next few episodes is looking at the various circumstances in our day-to-day lives wherein Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed us using the basmala and prescribed for us to use Allahumma. Now, some of these will be familiar to you as viewers, Muslims, which you're already using, and a number of them may not be familiar. But in any case, what we're looking at right now is how do we put this name, Allah, in our day-to-day lives. Of course, the goal behind it is to be more and more conscious of Allah in this name. It becomes a form of remembrance of Allah, which is the appropriate form that we spoke about before. Not the inappropriate form where we take the name Allah and we repeat it, you know, like a person who has lost his mind, he's just babbling, Allah, 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 Allah. No, we said already this is not the way. It is a deviant and misguided way. It was not done by Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, nor by his companions. And surely, if they didn't do it, then it must not be the way. Because if we are to claim that this is a valid way of remembering Allah, and Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't do it, what in fact are we saying? But that we have found something that he didn't have. Or that he knew it and he hid it from his followers. Whereas Aisha reported that he left us on a clear plane. تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى مَحَجَّةٍ بَيْضَى لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكٌ. That's what he told us. That I left you on a clear white plain, whose day is like its night. Anyone who deviates from that plain, from that clarity, destroys himself. So, as I said, we'll be looking at a few of the daily recommended basmalas, Allahumma, which the Prophet ﷺ recommended for us. The idea being to put these in our daily lives, to use them as frequently as we can. The first one that we'll be looking at is one which was related by Abu Bakr, the closest companion to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the first caliph after him. He asked the Prophet sallallahu, what should he say in the morning and in the evening? He asked him to give him a supplication which he could use in the morning and in the evening. And the supplication which the Prophet ﷺ gave him was none other than a supplication beginning with Allahumma, O Allah. This is the best that the Prophet ﷺ had to give him. He told him to say, Allahumma alim al-ghaybi wa shahada, fatir al-samawati wal-ard, rabba kull shay'in wa malika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi wa min sharri shaytani wa shirki. O Allah, knower of the unseen and the visible, creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord and the owner of everything, I testify that there is none worthy of worship but you. I seek refuge in you from the evil of my soul and the evil of Satan and his idolatry. This was the dua which Prophet Muhammad ﷺ gave based on the special request of Abu Bakr. It begins with Allahumma alim al-ghaybi wa shahada. O Allah, knower of the unseen and the visible. So this is a dua which we should try to learn and to put it in our daily lives. It's in the early morning, as Prophet ﷺ said, to say it when you get up in the morning and in the evening. And he also recommended that it be said even before going to sleep at night. The next supplication is one which everybody knows, basically, that before we eat, we should say Bismillah. And this is in a hadith which was narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, that she quoted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ طَعَامًا فَلْيَقُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. If any one of you eats, he should mention the name of Allah. He should say Bismillah. Now this is very simple. Bismillah. And Allah, in His mercy, had His Prophet guide us to this very simple supplication, which, when done with regard to the food that we eat, and we eat regularly, at least three times a day, we turn that act of eating, which is normally a mundane physical act to feed our systems, our bodies, keep ourselves alive and functioning. He gave us a simple formula which, when said, turns that simple act of eating into an act of worship. And this is something unique in Islam among the world religions, that we worship Allah while we eat. That act of eating itself becomes an act of worship of Allah. But of course, it is to say Bismillah, but also to be sure that what we are eating is halal. Because of course, If what we're eating is haram, we're going to be shy to say Bismillah before it. As a Muslim, one would feel shy to say Bismillah and eat something which was haram or drink something which was haram. So it is a kind of a reminder for us also that if we can't say Bismillah before what we're eating, then we know we're off the track. We need to get ourselves back in line. So on one hand, the food itself or drink that we're taking should be halal. And also it should have been earned by a halal way for this act of eating then to become an act of worship. The other point that should be kept in mind, the other point, is that when we eat, to keep it as an act of worship, we should also eat moderately. Because Prophet Muhammad had said, the believer eats as if he has only one stomach, whereas the disbeliever eats as if he has seven. Believer should therefore eat moderately. And he said that we should eat a third, drink a third, and leave a third for breathing. So, as he said, the worst container that a person can fill is one stomach. So a believer eats moderately, he doesn't overeat, controls what he eats, he makes sure what he eats is halal, that is permissible among the things which Allah has made permissible. And at the same time, he says Bismillah, he calls Allah, uses Allah's name before he begins to eat. And with that, dear viewers, we've come to the end of our program. So, inshallah, we'll see you in the coming program where we'll continue to look at a variety of other recommended supplications which the Prophet ﷺ gave us to put Allah in our day-to-day lives. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength from